Have your Bibles. We want you to turn with us to 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to take you to a portion of scripture. Again, this is Mother's Day, and we're thankful to have you with us today. And we want to say to all of our mothers a very special happy Mother's Day. We wish we were able to be here and celebrate with you, but just know that we are celebrating with you the best we can. And I want to say before I get into my message, it's very special thing for me to have my wife here with me today, the mother of our church, the first lady of the church, however you want to refer to her. And pastors' wives are special people, in my opinion. They don't get hired. The Lord calls a woman or a wife to go and the husband follows. The Lord calls a man to a pastorate and the wife goes along. It's a very unique situation, and it requires a lot of grace, it requires a lot of wisdom, and it requires sometimes she has to use her voice, and sometimes she has to be careful and loving and all these things. And my wife, in my opinion, of all the pastor's wives I've ever been around, and I've been around a few, and I don't mean to offend anybody else's pastor's wife or your wife if you're a pastor, but I think my wife's just the best. And I want her to know that I appreciate her and I love her so very much, and we give her honor today. And we're clapping for her here. Amen. So Cindy, I love you and thank you for being such a wonderful pastor's wife. 1 Kings chapter 4, we're going to stand for in honor of the reading of the word. Chapter 4, I'm going to go to verse number 1 and read just a few verses there. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And now the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha, the man of God, the prophet, said unto her, "Well, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, "Well, bring me another vessel." And the son said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pray and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." There's an old song that says, "If you ever needed the Lord before, sure do need him now." It's an old song. It's one of those songs that you have to sing it with some soul. You know, there's some songs you can't, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got to sing it with soul. That's one of them. So you can't say, "If you ever," you got to say, "If you ever needed the Lord before." You got to say, "Lord," not "Lord." So that's one of those songs. There's another song that we sing around here sometimes. And in fact, Brother Trace Barrow posted on Facebook the other day, he was looking for the song. And he said, "I'm looking for the song. I can't find it. Surely it's out there somewhere." And he was searching for the song, "Ain't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus." And so he couldn't find it. So I thought, well, we sing that song. And that's the way, I think we sing it that way. We sing "Ain't Nobody." So I started searching. I couldn't find it. So I did a little more searching. I happen to know that Andre Crouch wrote the song. So I found it. Well, what has happened is we've gravitated. He already wrote the song. You can be seated, by the way. He already wrote the song. All of you out there in your homes, you can sit down on your couch now. he already wrote the song with incorrect English, because the actual song is written, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." So the message is, there isn't anyone that can treat us and help us and heal us, you know, do me like Jesus. So he's already butchered the English when he wrote the song, and you have to sing. That's one of those songs you have to sing it that way. You can't sing, you can't clean up the English. Now, you can go the other direction with the English. You can make it worse, like we've done. We went from "can't nobody" to "ain't nobody do me like Jesus," and it still works. But you can't make the English better on that song and sing it real proper and it sound just right, Brother Southern. You can't sing, "There isn't anyone that can treat me like Jesus." That just doesn't work. So you got to sing it with, you know, "Ain't nobody can do me like Jesus." Okay, so I took all that time to set up my title. I usually don't even use titles. Now I've taken half my sermon time to set up the title. So my title this morning is this, and I think you would agree with me that if we ever needed good mamas before, we sure do need them now. We sure do need them now, don't we? And so if you know a good mama, a good mother, oh, thank God for her. And tell her how much you appreciate her. We'd be lost without good mothers. All through the Word of God, it's mamas. They were the glue that kept things together. Moses wouldn't have lived without his mama saying, "Ain't nobody going to take my baby and throw him in the, you know, no, no, no." And she hid him away. Now, Dad might have been saying, "But we've got to follow." And she said, "We're going to hang on. This is a goodly child." And she hid him for as many months as she could. And then she said, "Oh, I'm still not going to just get rid of him. I'm going to put him, I'm not going to throw him in the river without making a sanctuary for him." And she built a little ark and put him in the ark and put him in the river. And there he went, and God took care. You know the rest of the story of Moses. It was mamas who saw in their children. I call it, I told my wife yesterday, I think a good term for it is maternal dissonance. Maternal dissonance. It's this phenomenon that exists with mothers. They can, they know the worst about you, but they see the best in you. They will. It's the same thing. It's a maternal dissonance. It's a disconnect. It's sometimes you say things, but you then the way you act or what you say later doesn't. Like you might say to your child, "Son, I will slap the earwax out of your head," you know, or "I will smack you so hard your head will spin." You can say that to your baby, but then somebody else looks at them wrong a little later, and you say, "You better not mess with that. That is my angel." You know, it's a maternal dissonance. There's a disconnect there. It's the same thing that when the prophet said to the woman, well, "What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Well, I don't have anything in the house. I got nothing. We bare bones in the house. The cupboards are all bare, but we do have." So she can see what's not there, but she can by faith see what is there. She might say this over here, but she'll say something else over there. So I want to look at this whole thing of, if we ever needed good mamas before, we sure do need them today. In this world that we live, in this time that we find ourselves, we need good moms. Moms are the glue. Moms are they're what makes things stick. In fact, the Bible, I believe, says that a good woman is like salt. And if you think about salt, they do so many different things. They bring cleansing. They hold things together. They change their situations. A little bit of salt can go a long way. You can have the dish without the salt, but the salt sure does make it better when you put the salt in. And so, mothers, thank you, thank you, thank you for showing up, and thank you for letting God use you. I want to show you just a few things. First of all, in verse 1, where the woman has already lost her husband, and her husband has been a servant of Elisha. And so she's lost her husband, and now here come these bondsmen, these creditors, and they are going to take her sons. Now, something rises up in this mother because, and I'm just going to say that it's an intercession. It's when somebody stands in the gap and stands between the fear and the danger and the threat that is lurking, and stands between that and their child and says, "Not today, devil, not today. not this child, not this family, not this home, not today. She will look all of hell in the eye and say, you will not cross this line. I may just be a woman, but I'm a godly woman. I'm a prayerful woman. I'm a woman who believes in the word of God, and I'm going to stand my ground. And this woman rises up and intercedes for her children. Let me just say this. Nobody can intercede like a mama can intercede. And if we've ever needed intercessors before, we sure do need you right now. We need mamas who will pray. We need mamas who will hit their knees and pray to God for our land. Pray to God for our sons and our daughters who will pray when nobody else maybe knows what to pray. This mama stands up and says, I'm not just going to. Now listen, I couldn't do anything about my husband. I nursed him as long as I could. I nurtured him. We did what the doctor said. We did everything we could, but it just came down to it when he drew his last breath. I couldn't do anything about that. But these boys, they're not dying. Somebody's trying to take them away from me, and I won't stand for that. And so she goes to the man of God. So I'm telling you, mamas, when you don't know where else to turn, go to the Lord and pray to God for your babies. Hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Mothers intercede. This appeal, make no mistake about it, this appeal when she goes to Elisha and says, hey, something's going on here now. You know, my husband was faithful. Now he's dead. And now here come the creditors. They're trying to take my babies from me. This was not about her. This appeal was not about her. It was all about her sons. I can make it. I can figure it out. I know how to sew. I know how to cook. I know how to plant. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I can make it work. I can on my own, I'll scrape it out somehow. But this is about my boys. They're trying to take my children from me. Intercessory prayer is not about us. It will drain us, but it is something powerful about somebody else. And nobody can intercede like mamas can intercede for their families. Thank you, mothers, for being intercessors. Thank you for every intercessory prayer you've ever prayed for your children. We have pastors today. We have missionaries today. We have pastors' wives today. We have choir directors today. And all of them, the devil had designs for every single one of them. The devil had them in his crosshairs at some point in their life, was trying to knock them out, kill them off, drag them out. And it was a mama. I assure you that if it wasn't their mama, if their mama wasn't around, some mama somewhere said, I know what the devil's trying to do with that child. And they begin to pray. There have been prayers prayed over you that you don't even know we're prayed, because mamas somewhere said, I'm not going to stand for this. Mothers intercede. Look at verse number 2. And Elisha said to her, well, what shall I do for thee? And tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. So the second point I want to make is that good mamas, they know what is in their house. They know what is in their house. She didn't have to run off and look. She already knew. She does. And this is the thing about moms. This is the thing about ladies. They don't have to go run and take a physical inventory. There's something about y'all's brains that we have not figured out yet, but you can just keep a cumulative running inventory. That's why men, you can in a frantic panic run. You can yell downstairs to your wife, "Hey, where's my watch?" You know, and she's downstairs. She's ironing clothes and cooking supper and taking care of 5 kids, and she'll yell right up to you and say, "Well, it's right where you left it," you know. And she knows where it is, and she knows where you left it. And you don't even remember the last time you had it. It's right where you left it. So you say, "Well, can you tell me, well, where is that?" And she'll say, "It's in the drawer. It's in that top drawer of the chest. It's the right drawer, left side of the drawer, front corner, under those striped socks." And you'll go look, and sure enough, that's where it is. And she knows. There's something about the women. They know what's going on, especially in their home. Mothers, you ever heard somebody say, they have eyes in the back of their heads. mamas have eyes in the back of their heads. There's some supernatural peripheral vision that God has endowed you with. He's given you this ability to know. You don't even have to turn your head. You know what's going on over there. You don't even have to turn around. You can yell at somebody back, "You better stop that. I'll turn around right now if you don't stop that." Mama knows. Mama knows. And the reason this is so vitally relevant is that mama can see things that nobody else sees. There's nothing in the house. There's a pot of oil in the house. It's that maternal dissonance I spoke of earlier. Well, we don't have anything in the house to speak of, but there is a pot of oil in the house. That's why she can see she knows the worst about you, but she sees the potential in you. The same woman that will say to her husband, "John, I don't know if that boy has a brain in his head." She'll tell her husband that, getting ready for bed at night after she's wrestled with that kid all day long and fought with him all day long. "I don't know, John, there's something wrong with him. Something not right with that boy." And then the next morning as she's fixing his bacon and eggs for Junior, you know, "We're just so proud of you, son. You can be anything you want to be." The same boy that last night she was saying, "I don't know if he's got a brain in his head. He don't listen to nothing. I told him and told him. He still jumps off the top step, you know." But the next morning, it's that maternal dissonance. She knows the worst, but she sees and expects and directs him towards the best. Nothing in the house, but there is a pot of oil in the house. We're all depleted in this area, but if we could just cultivate this, and that's what mamas do. They learn to cultivate what nobody else would even deem worth mentioning. Mamas will see the potential there, that the same woman that threatens to knock you winding when somebody else looks at them crossways and says, "Don't even look at my baby like that." It's that maternal dissonance. There's nothing in the house, but there's a pot of oil in the house. She realizes the lack hath not anything, but she vocalizes the pot. I call it the potential. Save the pot of oil. Yeah, you can use that if anybody ever wants to preach that. It just came to me, the potential that is there. She sees the lack, but she vocalizes the potential that is there. Because it's about her sons, it's about her children, it's about her babies. Don't tell me there's nothing I can do. Because if you're telling me there's nothing I can do, if it's just me, that's one thing. I can lay down and die. But if you're talking about my children, I cannot accept when you tell me. That's why a doctor might say to her, "Well, your son or your daughter has this." And she will say, "I hear what you're saying, but I've got a conversation I have to have with somebody else first. Because I've got to go pray about this." She just doesn't accept everything. The doctor says something to a mama with a baby in her womb before the baby's ever born. And the mama will say, "Okay, I hear what you're saying. I see the ultrasound, but I'm not going to just, if it's okay with you, I'm not just going to accept that just yet. We're going to go talk to Jesus. We're going to pray about this thing. And then whatever will be. But I'm going to claim my miracle." Look at verse number 3. "Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad." Watch this. "Of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door." You're going to shut the door upon you and upon your family, upon your sons, "and you shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. Get this image in your head. Here's these. Now, the prophet did not have to include her sons in this miracle. He could have told her, "Go borrow the vessels yourself. Let your boys do their own thing." But he involves the boys because what it all boils down to is the boys, if this represents intercession, if this is to represent what mamas do for their children, the boys have to show up. They have to be involved. They have to come. Here is mama in the house saying to her boys, "Go get empty, not full. I don't want anything in them. Empty vessels." If it's people are going to ask you why, it's none of their business. Just ask if you can borrow them. They're going to get them back better than they lent them out. They'll get them back. But just bring. And now here's this image. Mama in her house sitting there in her house, praying while her boys are out gathering empty vessels, praying, God. Now this, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm just going to obey. I'm going to do whatever the prophet told me to do. I'm going to do it. And her boys are gathering, and here they come into the house, presenting themselves empty vessels. Here's my next point. A good mama hears and obeys the word of God. It doesn't always make sense. You can't always figure it out. And I used to think that this was just a Cindy thing. My wife, I thought it was kind of more of a Cindy thing, honey. But the older I get and the more I'm around, I'm discovering it's not so much a Cindy thing. It's kind of a woman thing. My wife wants to know. She wants to plan. She wants to know what's coming. She wants to know, you know, that's why you women, you know, where are we going? Now, who all's going to be there when we get there? Now, what am I supposed to wear? Now, what time do they want us there? Well, we might want to get there a little bit early. And what kind of an event is this? What kind of an affair is this? Okay, so now what route are we going to take to get there? Let's see, how long is that going to take us to get there? And when we get there, now, what kind of food is going to be there? Am I supposed to bring anything? Well, what do they want me to bring? And we're like, I don't know. I think we're supposed to be there around 6 o'clock. We'll figure it out when, you know, 5:55, we'll figure it out. But women want to think, they want to know, they want to plan, they want to have everything in order, they want to know what's going on. It's very difficult for women to just say, you know what, whatever. So when my wife and I are totally ends of the spectrums on that. So if being kind of just by the seat of your pants and procrastinating and all that is a man thing, I max it out. And if being kind of a planner is a woman thing, she maxes it out. So we balance each other. I guess we could say it that way. That's better than what I was going to say. We balance each other. We balance each other out. We don't drive each other nuts. We balance each other out. Amen. Can I get at least one amen from my wife? So for the prophet to say to her, now listen, go just borrow vessels. Borrow. He doesn't tell her the end of the plan here. She doesn't get that until all the vessels are full and she goes and tells him, okay, I did what you said, now what? You know, he just says, go borrow empty vessels, and she sends her boys, and they come in, and they present the empty vessels. So here's what I'm saying to you. Good mamas, as hard as it is for you sometimes to do, you have learned to just let go and say, all right, God, as much as I want to control it, as much as I want to plan it out, as much as I want all the details, if your word says to trust you, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to stand still and see the glory of the Lord. I'm not going to fight this battle. I'm going to let you fight this battle. And a good mama knows when to stand up and when to sit down, when to move forward and when to just get out of the way and let God do it. A good mama knows how to hear from God and obey his voice. Somebody shout amen. Aren't you thankful for good mamas? If we ever needed good mamas before, we sure do need you now. We need good moms right now. I'm talking to some of you, you've already got your babies raised. You think, well, is this message for me? Oh, you better believe it is, because we live in a day right now where we need good women who are calling out to God for our nation and for our world. You already have the practice. If you've raised any babies at all, you've already been in these situations where you didn't know if they were going to take another breath. Those nights they had croup sounded so bad, you thought you're going to have to rush them to the hospital in an ambulance because you didn't know if they were going to take another breath. They were coughing their heads off. You've already been through this stuff before. You prayed over your babies when they were so hot, felt like their heads were going to pop off with fever, and you prayed over them, and the doctor said, well, just run a little hot water in the tub and hold them over there and let them breathe in. You're thinking, this sounds crazy, but you did it anyway. And while you were doing that, while they were breathing in that those vapors, you were saying, in Jesus' name, God, touch my baby. You just learned to hear and obey the word of God. And a good mama teaches her children to do the same. That was what's going on here. When she says, go, go. I mean, let's examine this. Elisha said to her, in verse number 3, go borrow the vessels. He didn't tell her to have her kids do it. She had her kids do it. She said, if we're going to get a miracle, I want my kids involved in this miracle. If God's going to do something for me, I want God to do it through and with and for my children too. I want to tell you, the best thing you'll ever do is to bring your kids to church. Best thing you'll ever do. Mamas, is right now, and you say, well, I can't get them to church right now. Well, okay. 9:30 Sunday morning, get up. Well, we've got to get up. We can't go to church. Yeah, we're going to have church in the living room. Now you get up, get your socks on, whatever. Get in the living room, eat your cereal, get in the living room, because at 10 o'clock, pastor's coming on, and we're going to have church, and we're going to worship the Lord. Right now, if this is the best you can do, do the best you can do. But have church with your children. Point them in the right direction. She says, if God's going to do something like this, I want my babies, my boys. I don't know how old they were. They might have been in their 30s, but they're always your babies, aren't they? I want my babies involved. She teaches her children to hear and obey the voice of God. Look at verse number 5. So she went from him and shut the door. Upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. If I've ever seen 4 words in the Bible that epitomize and personify a good mama, those 4 words sure do that. And she poured out. She poured out. She poured out. She gave. That's really what motherhood is. I mean, it's the very essence of motherhood. From the moment you get the news, hey, you're pregnant, your belly starts hurting. You start vomiting. You get morning sickness. Your clothes stop fitting. You start craving food that's not good for you. I mean, you start giving the very moment you conceive. You start giving. It stops being about you. If you're a selfish woman, pregnancy will take it out of you. Come on, somebody. You gotta give me something here. You can't be narcissistic and be pregnant at the same time. And it doesn't get better. I'm not trying to scare any of you that just found out you're pregnant, but you don't hear people say, oh yeah, my first few days were terrible, but after that it just got better and better. No. You got to start getting other clothes, because even those ones you were actually, you know, cramming yourself into, it just gets to a point where you say, we got to get maternity clothes now. So that's not even going to fit. And even your shoes, I've heard women, I haven't been pregnant, of course, but my wife's had 3 babies and I've been around a lot of pregnant women. Even the shoes, you think shoes would always fit, but even shoes, like, man, my ankles are hurting in these shoes, because you start retaking. You know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that you start giving the very moment you find out you're going to be a mama. You start giving. You start giving. And you don't complain about it because of the baby. You never say, you don't point to your belly and say, you little brat already caused me trouble. You don't do that. I hope you don't do that. Oh, Lord, help you if you do, because you're in for a world of finding out later. And then when you get in that delivery room, you give and you give and you give and you give and you push and you push and you push and you have contraction and you have pain and you have misery. And then here comes that little baby. They lay it in your arms and, oh, it was so worth it all. You don't think about all the pain. But then from that moment on, guess what happens? That little baby starts drawing from you, draws from your breast. You start giving naturally now to the child. And you find out in just a few moments, it's not just about giving natural milk. It's emotionally and mentally, every kind of physical pouring out. You pour out of yourself for the rest of that child's life. You're pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. It's spiritual pouring out. It's emotional pouring out. It's physical pouring out. It's financial pouring out. It's mental pouring out. It's just pouring. Then you get through that cycle and you start all over again. Now what? And the more of them you have, the more of them you just keep pouring out. And this mama personifies what motherhood is all about. Okay, babies, come on in here with your empty vessels. Here, mama's going to pour out of herself whatever I got. I know I don't have much. That pot of oil that represented so little. That's why we look at you mama sometimes and say, I don't know how you do it. You know, dads babysit for an hour and they're calling you up. Where are you at? Come on, somebody. I know the men aren't going to help me today. And you're like, I got two of them with dirty diapers, and one of them's tearing up the paint off the wall. And she's like, yeah, I've dealt with that all week long. And, you know, what's the big deal? Because we just don't know. We don't know how you do it. How does that woman do it? How does she keep going? It's because there's something in your reserve God has put there. She kept pouring. When it looked like there was no more left to pour out, she kept pouring out. I'm just talking about good mamas today. I'm just recognizing good mamas today. Thank God. And if we ever needed good mamas that will pour out of themselves. Listen, I'm talking to some of you. You got white hair on your head now. You're way past the age of ever conceiving and having babies. Your babies are raised and your baby's babies are raised, and you're sitting around sometimes wondering, well, what have I got left to give? Listen, you've been pouring out for so long that you don't even understand. You can pour out right now. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally. If God was done with you, you would have already been taken home, but He's left you here for a reason, because right now, more than we've ever needed people that know how to pour out of themselves, we need it right now. If we ever needed good mamas before, we sure need them right now to pour out of yourselves in prayer. Pour out of yourselves. Pour out your wisdom. Pour out your words of understanding. Pour out your words of faith. Pour out your words of encouragement. That's why mamas that have already been mamas for a while, they've already got their babies and their grandbabies are raised, and some grandmas raised their grandkids, for crying out loud. They've already done all this. That's why some of the younger mamas will come to them and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they just say, kind of pat them on the back, say, it's going to be all right. They don't have any big, long chapters of words. They just say, it's going to be okay. And you think, well, do you even know what you're talking about? You think they're so out of touch. But the reason they can say that is because they've already been down the road you've been. They've already been through it without YouTube. They've been through it without ready-made formula. I'm not trying to say that you got it easy today, please. Not at all. I'm just saying the reason they can pat you on the back and say, it's going to be okay, honey, because they were doing it way back when they didn't have a dime in the bank and their husband was trying to find work and they didn't have to figure out what they were going to wear. They had two outfits to wear. They weren't trying to figure out what to have for dinner. They were wondering if they would have anything for dinner. And all the while, they got a little baby that they're nursing all the while. And then they learned to pray prayers that we are now learning to pray. That's good preaching. So we need you. We need you right now. We need you. Don't think your job is ended. Mamas, we need good mamas now. I'm talking to some of you. You thought you'd already hung up your apron and hung up your mama badge and you were all done, but we need you more than we've ever needed you before. I wish the church would say amen. We love you and we appreciate you, and we recognize, we're finding out right now all this, we're learning new terms, you know, right now, terms that we'll never forget, social distancing. That's a new term. We've never used it before. Now, we've thought it in our heads before. We just didn't know what it was called. You know, we go, you're in my bubble. It's social distancing. We've learned the term. We're learning these terms. I wish I could remember where I was going with that, but it'll come to me. Thank you for pouring out. Thank you for giving. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. How long do you pour out? How long do you pour out? Well, till I'm empty, till I have no more to give. No, that's not even the right answer. Because according to this, there was no running out. So stop. Let me help some of you mamas. Now, I've been bragging on you. I've been complimenting you. I've been honoring you. But let me preach to you just for a moment. Some of you negative Nancys that say things like, I just don't have any more to give. You've just drained me dry. You know, you gripe at your kids all the time. You've drained me dry. I get it. I understand what you're talking about. But stop. Stop it with that. Listen to me. God has put an inexhaustible fount in you that you can pour out. Now, you don't have to tell everybody that. You don't have to tell all your kids, oh, yeah, you'll never drain me dry. It's okay if they think they might, you know, sometimes. But you don't have to talk like that. I'm just going to have nothing left. I have nothing. I'm just about all used up. Stop it. You can pour out, and not until you're empty. You can pour out until the vessels are full. That's when we pour no more. When the vessels are full. train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So they get to a point where they're fooled. My daughter, this year, will marry the love of her life. And we're still trying to... He is, isn't he? Oh, you're laughing about it. I hope he is. But we're just, her mother and I, we're trying to pour in just the last few drops here and there, last few drops, but we're almost to the point where, okay, honey, you're full, now you're ready, you're going to move on down the road. Now we're going to be empty nesters soon. But I understand this, we never stop pouring because there's going to be times where she's going to come and say, well, what about this? And our sons might come and say, our daughter-in-laws and our son-in-law might come, our grandbabies will come. We're still pouring. You never get to the point, as long as there's room in there to pour, you just keep pouring. But when they're full, then you got to turn them loose. That's why children are referred to, I got to close this, but that's why children are referred to as arrows. Remember that in the book of Psalms? Arrows. Not bows. Arrows. Not a sword, but arrows. Not a shield, but arrows. You don't release your sword. You don't release your shield. You don't release your bow, but you have to release the arrows. So mamas, you pour while they're empty, you pour. While there's still room, you pour, you pour, you pour, you pour, you pour, you pour, you pour. You teach them. You teach them now that we got to pray. We pray to Jesus. Oh, yes, no, we don't treat people like that. You pour it in. No, we don't say things like that about people. You pour it in. No, honey, that's called, we're going to learn a new word today. It's called gossip. Gossip. We don't gossip about people. We don't talk bad about people. No. You pour that in. See, if you're not careful, you pour the wrong stuff in. I don't have time to preach about the wrong stuff. You know what the wrong stuff is. You pour the right stuff in. Oh no, honey, we don't talk like that. We don't act like that. That's not the way ladies act. Oh no, Johnny, that's not the way gentlemen don't behave that way. You pour it in. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me something more to pour into. And he said, well, there's nothing left. And the oil stayed. There was always enough. If there was another opportunity to pour, she had oil to pour. And that which she had poured, it stayed. And that which was being poured out of, when there was no more need, you can take it any way you want, it stopped. God gives you what you need. Just what you need. And as long as you'll use it, there'll always be enough of it. And when it's done, God can cause it. You say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. When all my kids are all raised, stop worrying about that. Pour as long as you can pour, and then the oil will stay. You're going to be all right. God is not going to just shut you off. And whenever it's time for you to be done, God will call you home. We're going to go home one of these days. Pour till the vessels are full. Mamas, good mamas, we sure do need you now. We sure do need you now. Pray like you've never prayed. Love like you've never loved. Teach like you've never taught. Speak words of encouragement. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for every mother that has heard these words today. I pray that they would be blessed. I pray that you would encourage and strengthen. Lord, in this day that we live right now, God, we need intercessors. We need voices. We need examples to be lived before us. We need words to be spoken over us and into us. Pour, Lord, pour. Bless them as they bless us. Encourage them as they encourage us. Would you, wherever you are right now, would you just raise your hands? I don't care if you're a mom or a dad or a teenager or a child. Raise your hands wherever you are right now and begin to worship the Lord. Come on, the Lord's going to speak. The Lord's going to speak to your heart. God's going to encourage you.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great.
worship the Lord. Every single person today that's watched this live stream, we pray, God, you encourage and strengthen and bless. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you praise. We want to remind you that if you need anything at all from us, please, if you want somebody to pray with you, you need somebody to speak with you, you would like a Bible study, you want to be baptized, whatever you need, we're here. Give us a call. The number is 812-876-4008. That's 812-876-4008. That'll get you here at the church. You can leave a voicemail if we don't answer. We want to be a blessing to you. We're praying for you every day. We love you. God bless you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a happy Mother's Day, mamas. God bless you. See you next time. Wednesday night, 7:30. God bless.